All right. So could you first introduce yourselves and this whatever band it is you're from?
Sure. I am Joel, and I play keyboards for the band Elkland.
Hi, I'm Jesse. I play drums for Elkland.
So it's your brother that's errant at this very moment.
This is very true.
He's on a plane somewhere, in a cab somewhere from here, and he's tardy.
Yeah, I'm Adam, and I play guitar for Elkland.
So, Horseheads, New York, living in the shadow of the big city of Elmira.
Oh my God.
Yeah, Horseheads is just a suburb of
a once was industrial city that's really nothing anymore. It's like
there's really nothing to do there. No music scene. That's it. I mean, I hated growing up. I didn't like growing up there, but I like it now. It's great to go back and relax.
So this is totally melodic pop music, and you are proud to wear that badge in an era that the world has, you know, been through a lot of noise. But as I just talked to, you know, that other band that you've been opening for, those other guys, they've done it for, you know, God knows how many years, and I guess it still provides. So, but I mean, how anti-trendy of you, or actually how trendy of you suddenly.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing. I mean, we've been doing this. I mean, this is music we love and like we grew up loving. And we've been doing this since we were since I was like 14, 15. And then it's kind of weird all of a sudden now. It's like back then, like we got picked on constantly because this was the music we made. And all of a sudden it's like cool to have a keyboard in your band. And so we might look trendy, but I mean, to be honest, like we've been doing this since like
we're the originals,
and we'll be doing it for 10 years from now, you know.
Yeah. Hopefully.
And Jesse, there was no MTV for you. There was gospel.
There was no MTV for us. Yeah, I grew up in a evangelical household, and yeah,
we were a lot of evangelists in the Chemung Valley.
But yeah, we did, and they wanted to shield us from the outside world as far as music television. I remember hearing MTV, it was almost like hearing a swear word. Like when you said it, you're just like, you know, oh my gosh.
And so like, I mean, we had to search out and find our influences, and I think that really helps to like, you know, it helps to make your music pure and original, you know.
So Golden is not a We Did It In Our Basement record. I mean, the synths, you know, you did this big time. This is not exactly yucky for a first outing. So why don't you start with that? Yeah. Off the plane and right into an interview he goes.
Yeah, we've been doing it in our bedroom, in our basement for years. And this is the first time we were able to like hire a producer and really go for it.
The synthesizer collection. Tell me about some of the favorites in the collection and who they sound like. And by the way, just so you know, a point of reference, I just came from hanging an hour with Vince and Andy.
Oh, nice.
And interviewing them. So I'm very, very into talking about all of these sounds because it's just very intriguing that, you know, the two of you have so much in common, to say the least.
I don't know if I can measure up to Mr. Vince Clark. He's like an idol.
No, but you have quite the collection of synthesizers.
Oh yeah. Well, oh my God, have you seen his? Mm-hmm. The most I've had at a time is like 13, but like.
Oh, that's all.
Yeah.
Because your average corner store, you know, has 13 synthesizers wandering around. It's just it's just, you know.
Yeah,
dude, see my collection of synthesizers.
Yeah, but it's like, you know, I could have like 50 of them. I end up only using one or two. You know, you really fall in love with
them. What are the sounds? Like, when you were trying to do this, what did you say? Holy moly, this sounds just so like.
Right. The one synth that we used a lot was the Sequential Circuits 6-track, which was kind of a lost synthesizer. No one really bought the thing. But we fell in love with it, and it sounds a lot like stuff that Gary Newman was
doing. Do 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 do.
And like, yeah, all that. It's got a great port.
I'm a big May I Disconnect for you.
Yeah. So, no, yeah. And we also love like real jazz type of sounds. Like we love minimal. Yeah. Just one note at a time. I mean, all of our songs. There's barely any chords. It's all like one note, kind of in the style that Vince Clark was so famous for doing back in the day. Erasure's a little more layered now. But.
Right. But you took all that and then you did create an entirely new sound. It's not like you turned around and said, we want to sound like. You just said, we're going to take a whole pile of stuff that exists, throw it in the blender and see where it all kind of shakes out, right?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, we definitely don't want to be just like harping on the past as much as we love it. You know, it's all about bringing something new to the table while still having that warm, reminiscent feel to it, you know.
So how do you feel about multiple nights at the same venue? Do you kind of start to feel at home? It must be pretty unusual to, you know, not do the typical rock and roll tour sort of thing.
It's actually quite nice, like, playing a few nights at the same venue because, like, I mean, it becomes a routine. Like, we played 10 nights at Irving Plaza, and you don't have to, like, get up early in the morning and travel to the next show, and everything's already there at the venue, and, like, it makes it really easy, which we enjoy.
We're totally, for an opening band, we're totally spoiled on this tour. So
I'd say so.
Next tour, I think we're
next tour will stink.
We're going to get our hands in the dirt, and it's going to be dirty, probably.
Exactly. Tell me about the crowds. Are they surprised how well your sound meshes with Erasure?
You know, 95% of people that walk in,
they have no idea who the heck you are.
Yeah, they didn't even know that there was an opening band, like, most nights. I mean, we got on the tour so late that most of the posters were already made, all the promo was done. So people come in, when someone starts walking on the stage, they all start cheering, thinking it's like someone from Erasure.
You don't get yay, boo.
No, we have never gotten booed. You know, the exact opposite for us. So, I mean, it's been the crowd response has been above and beyond what we.
Not to say they aren't skeptical at first, you know.
Yeah, I understand.
Because they just want to see Erasure.
I hear Erasure has a history of kind of bad opening acts. So, you know,
do they really?
We went online and just everyone's like, no, not another opening act, Erasure.
Oh, no.
And so we were really worried that it would just be so negative, but it's been, you know. I loved Yaz. I loved, you know, Erasure. For some reason, I wasn't avoiding them. I just never.
You either did or you didn't, and there were lots of places in between that their fans probably said, you know, but they, hey, what the heck. So somewhere there is a press release saying, somewhere, can't imagine what.
I know what this is.
You ready? Come on, okay, he's finished his burger, tell me, because I, tell me what the, read me my question. Go ahead, it's like Mad Libs. Read me my question.
I'm not going to.
Yes, you are. Come on. Yes, you are. Come on.
Was it something about favorites?
No, I'll let you fill in the
blank. Oh, good,
then
it's not right.
Somewhere there's a press release saying you have a 10-year, 6-record deal with Columbia. Yes? Do you really?
How'd that get out? Yeah.
That's our stupid local newspaper spilling the beans. Yeah.
It is your local. It's exactly right.
Yeah. I don't know how she found out. I think she.
So you really have a 10-year, 6-record deal,
yeah.
Like the old days, which means that you guys are stuck for the next. I mean, not stuck, but you are. You know what you're in for, don't you?
Well,
you're in for. Hey man, where are the tunes?
We have no idea what we're in for, actually. But we're excited either way.
What's the weirdest thing that's happened at a show or on the tour so far? like if somebody came up to you and said, hey Vince, good to see you, or, you know.
To me, because
yeah.
I have no
hair. Yeah.
Fading baldness.
Yeah, is there any, but all, what is the weirdest, oddest, strangest?
Oh, I got one, actually.
Right.
Where was it?
Oh, this is a, can you top this? It's a challenge.
I believe it was somewhere in Texas. A guy came
somewhere in Texas.
Somewhere in Texas.
In the Chemung Valley of Texas?
It's so small that, you know.
The Chemung Valley of Texas.
Yeah.
Well, you missed our whole discussion about the Chemung Valley.
It was at an Erasure show, wherever we played.
Went on for hours.
And this guy came up to me trying to meet Vince, and he said God told him that he was supposed to be Vince's apprentice. And he's supposed to learn about keyboards from him. Did I tell you
dead
guys
serious.
This? Dead serious, like no.
He was also Elvis's cousin, wasn't he? Apparently.
Yeah, he's Elvis's cousin.
Elvis's cousin, cool.
Elvis.
And you know, wait, and tell me you blew him off because I know him and it's true.
You know? It's true.
It's true, and you blew off Elvine. And you blew him off. You are damned for life. You're not going to make it through the 10-year contract.
I passed on the message. No.
Are you?
Adam did blow him off. Adam's known for being cold to people.
Accidentally cold. He's not.
I don't know. Is there any other weird things that happened to you guys?
Well, during live show, the kabuki fell on us. So that was one of the funny things that happened. So, Joel, do you think of anything funny?
Well, it's kind of funny. Just now, we pulled up to the venue, and there's like the hardcore Racer fans get to the show at like 4 o'clock when doors don't even open till say 8. So there's like some hardcore fans waiting outside of the door, and we pull up to the venue in our van. And I start to walk out, and they all start to scream. And then as soon as they saw who I was, they stopped.
Because you look so much like one of them.
But, you know, these fans are like hardcore. It's almost like a cult thing now. It's like, I mean,
so the last thing that I like to do that's kind of a little tradition, and what I want you to do is make an Elkland musical sandwich. And here's how it works. And we've had 100 bands do this. Here's what you do. Two of your songs are the bread. And then you each get to pick a couple of fillings in between, and no matter what you select musically, not your stuff, so your stuff is the bread. And then in between, you have to pick some music that you want to hear with your music, and I will put that set together exactly as you ask for it, and I will send it to you. So what's the bread? Two songs that represent this band.
The bread is... Number one is Put Your Hand Over Mine, which is the first track off Golden.
Find Me.
Should we do Find Me? That's my personal favorite.
You didn't pick the single, good for you.
No, I didn't pick the single.
I'm tired of the single.
I'm tired of hearing the single.
We want other people to hear other things other than this silly single.
Should we make this difficult for you?
You should do whatever you want to do.
I'm going to bring down the depression. Miss Kitten and the Hacker, Frank Sinatra.
Okay.
I'm gonna get a bunch of booze from them for this, but Jesus and Mary Chain.
What?
Why is that just like Honey.
I can't think of anything.
I got another one. Bjork, Pluto.
Bjork, okay. Come on. I need more.
How about
Save him from that other tune that he was embarrassed by.
How about Madonna's Holiday?
Oh, I was gonna.
Great pop music.
This is just a holiday.
Madonna, Holiday.
Dope. With or without you. That's good. Well,
out of Holiday, that'll be kind of intriguing.
Sound of the Crowd is good.
Sound of the Crowd, Human League,
yeah.
Okay.
And how about some...
OMD?
Only You, yes.
Only You, yeah.
I was wondering if you were going to pay any you know, respect to the,
of course, we're
to those boys.
OMD.
What's the one? What's like,
the new one.
Telegraph?
Telegraph. Oh, OMD Telegraph. Okay.